You are listening to Hello Cupcake, It's Me, a podcast with your host, Michael Peterson.
So, yeah, how are you guys? It has been a very interesting week already. We are already just into Wednesday, but already, yeah, just wow. Some of you may have seen the short video that I posted the other day talking about how I wish I could just take things from people so that they could get a better understanding. And that's what the bulk of this video is going to be, so that you can better understand what I'm talking about. So, as many of you know, I am a low-income person myself, and that I've been through all these tragic events throughout my life, and that prior to those kind of tragic events, that I always had, like, a certain outlook on things, and that back when I was, you know, just younger, I saw things very differently than what I do now. Now that I'm in my 40s and have lived life experience and stuff like that, have taken mental health courses, and I study mental health and am a certified peer counselor, I just have a better understanding and a better grasp of things. So that being said, if you didn't see that video the other day, it was me just kind of venting and talking about how just disgusting the general populace has become in their thoughts and viewpoints of people who are low income or traditionally unhoused or completely homeless and street dependent. And especially in this localized group that I belong to. Now, where I live, the part of the county that I live in is typically a lower income section of the county, even though we have some high real estate areas that make up a small majority of the populace, but for the most part, it is very low income. And I am an advocate for affordable low-income housing, first and foremost. I think that it's not even a thought. Shelter is a necessary basic human need, and it needs to be seen as a human right, not a human luxury or whatever else. And in my area, there is very little to no low-income affordable housing. And I was expressing myself in this video talking about, like, how disgusted I am with, like, people who, instead of seeing it as a humanity problem, seeing it as a purely Democratic or purely Republican problem, when it doesn't give a when it doesn't matter who the fuck you are or what you vote for, it is a humanitarian problem. Red blames blue for spending and doing this and that and the other thing and putting all these things in place. Blue blames red for this, that, and the other thing, but no one stops and gives a legitimate solution to what needs to be done or how to implement that. It's always, well, if you didn't vote Democrat, well, if you didn't vote for Republican, fuck both parties across the board. Just shut the hell up about Republican, Democrat, what the hell ever. I don't care what your political problem is, what your political agenda or issue is. What are you going to do? What solution do you have that can be implemented now, not 5 years from now? We don't need a fucking 5-year plan. We need a plan that takes place today and is implementable by fall, you know, something that can take place right this second. And so to give you some examples, these people that I'm talking about are very one side of the road, very red, very just, well, I worked hard, so why shouldn't everyone else? Like, I don't understand that methodology of thinking, and there's probably going to be some of you who are like, well, I don't understand your methodology of thinking. Why should things be given to you? And that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying give it to people. Like, but why should other people have to struggle because you struggled? Like, that's literally like Titanic sinking ship mentality. This is my piece of wood. And even though I have another quarter of a, another quarter of this piece of wood, I'm not gonna let you float on it because this is my wood. So you sink, fuck you. And a lot of times, this is coming from people who claim that they are religious or that they are God-fearing or Christian or whatever else. And you know, guys, I hate talking politics. I hate talking religion on my channel, and I typically don't do it, or I try to stay away from it. This is one of those times where it's gonna get political, it's gonna get religious, it's gonna get what the hell ever. So, moving on from that though, like a lot of these people are like, well, you got to put your faith in God and da 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 da. Well, faith in God doesn't pay the bills right now. Faith in God gives you that strength, that support, that like external driving force to help motivate you and guide you and look for spiritual awakening and spiritual messages and whatever to get you from point A to point B. And then you say, oh, it was through the grace and glory of this or that God that I was able to do these things. Yes, spirituality and religion and stuff like that are huge for some people and are the cornerstones of their lives. But at the end of the day, you still have to, you have to have something else in place for when God's not there. And I know there's going to be a lot of people who misinterpret what I say about that and like, oh no, God's always there and blah blah, footprints and all this other stuff. Listen, take divinity away from it, take spirituality away from it. There's just times when people need help. And yes, there are people who abuse systems in place, like yes, there are people who abuse the welfare system. Yes, there are people who do this. Yes, there are people who do that or whatever else. But at the end of the day, we are all people. We are all experiencing it. And if we're not experiencing it, we're only one or two, like, calamities from being homeless. A lot of people think that they are so much closer to being a Kardashian or Instagram famous or a YouTube sensation or whatever else, that they lose sight of the fact that they are one or two bad things happening to them from having absolutely zero. Prior to 2003, I thought I was fucking invincible. I was young, I was good looking, I was in good health, I had everything going for me, I was in college, I had the motto, if I see it, I like it, I want it, I buy it. Just like that. If I see it, I like it, I want it, I buy it. I went out and spent $500 on a DKNY mini backpack one time just because I thought it was cute and I wanted it. And I was with a bunch of friends on Rodeo Drive there in Beverly Hills. And I was like, oh, you know what? Hey, let me pop into the store real fast and grab that bag. I really want that. And then afterwards, we went out to lunch at the Ivy and spent the whole rest of the day shopping up and down Rodeo Drive and going to Beverly Glen and all those other places. So, there were times when I was wearing North or Sean John and South Pole and Roka Wear and all those other high name brands and every week or so, I was throwing a brand new purse at my sister that was Roka Wear or coach or whatever else, just because, I wanted my sister had to have nice things. And then in 2003, I lost my house to a wildfire. My two bedroom, or I'm sorry, it was a three bedroom, two bath house with a two car garage, laundry room, fenced in backyard, nice front yard, large den with a huge masonry stone wall, like stone fireplace in a suburb in a nice old established neighborhood, not like old ran down, but old established, like old money neighborhood with good school systems, no crime rate in the area, like a mile up from Target, a couple of miles from a really prominent casino, and like a whole bunch of other amenities. And we lost everything in an instant, through no fault of our own. So did hundreds, if not thousands, of other people. It was one of the most terrifying and eye-opening experiences that I have ever had and that I hope to ever have. Watching everything that we worked so hard to build and to put together and to scrimp and save for, and for what? For it to all go up in an instant, and then our next door neighbors, the neighbor who had the palm tree in their backyard that caught on fire, that caught our house on fire, their house never burnt down. They didn't even get scorch marks on their stucco. The neighbors on the other side of us, their blinds melted, but our house burnt down to the fucking foundation. We lost our pets in that fire because we didn't have time to get the dog out of the garage. Didn't have time to grab the cats. I didn't have time to grab my rats and my tarantula and the raven and the possum that we had and like all the fish and stuff. We didn't have time to get that. I heard, grab the baby, the house is on fire. I ran into the room where my niece was sleeping. The house was on fire. I could see the flames in the roof, looking through to see the sky and the burning palm tree. And long story short, living with the trauma and the dramatic impact that that had on our life, and then watching how just greed and really, that's the only word I can use for it, just greed take over the entire community. Places that were only $300 and $400 a month in rent were now going for $900, $800 to $1,000, if not more, because, oh, demand's there, so we can charge more. At the shelters where that FEMA had set up, there were people who weren't even affected by the goddamn fire in there taking resources from people who lost every fucking thing. Just because, oh, it's free stuff. Oh, I need a new bed in a bag, so let me go take it from these people who have lost every fucking thing. Me and my family, we spent 2.5 months homeless before we were able to get into a place. And so that right there was a huge, shocking eye opener. It was like, oh hell. Where's that DKNY backpack? Where's this? Where's that? Oh yeah, that was in the house. It burnt up. We didn't have time to evacuate and pack stuff. It was literally 8 a.m. We saw the fires. We were told that we didn't have to evacuate. By 11, we were told that we might have to evacuate. By 1, our house was completely gone. It was that fast. And that really changed how I looked at things. I became less materialistic. Like, you look in the background and you see all this shit that I have now, but it's all stuff that's replaceable. It's nothing that I'm absolutely connected to. Like, right behind me, that's some of my Funko Pops and half of a library that I used to have. In the house that burnt down, I had a full-on library with every single Stephen King book he had ever written in hardback. I had every single book that Anne Rice had wrote in hardback. I had every Dean Koontz book. I had a child's library for my niece. I had my sister's library of books. We had four built-in bookshelves, floor to ceiling, completely filled, plus books and movies and entertainment stuff in the den, not including the DVD collection that we had, or like any of the other collectible knickknacks that we had, or priceless heirlooms and art and just family photos. We have 12 photos of my niece from the time that she was born till her second or third birthday, maybe even, maybe her fourth birthday. We have none of those photos anymore. I don't have photos of my biological mom or my dad or my grandfather or my grandmother or whatever else. I have very few things left that are n memorabilia. And it sucks. But, it's one of those things that it happened. And people don't think about that stuff. And so when I was talking about wanting to take everything that somebody has and put them in that situation, that's what I wanted to, I wish that I could take people who are so closed-minded and are so opposed to like homeless people or low-income people or whatever, and just take them and put them in that situation and make them think that they can never get it back and afford them the same opportunities that low-income people have that they can build themselves up from. So many people think that low-income people do not contribute to society, or that just because they are that they're unemployed, that they don't contribute to society. We still do. We still have to pay taxes. We don't have an income tax, but we have to pay taxes on everything. We have to pay taxes on gas. We have to pay taxes whenever we buy stuff. We have to pay taxes on, everything. So just because we're not part of the economy's machine of like making Walmart run, we still pay taxes in city taxes, in state taxes, in food taxes, b food, beverage, entertainment taxes, or whatever else. This whole idea that if you don't have a traditional 9-to-5 and that you're busting your ass and that you're keeping up with the Joneses and all this other stuff, that you are unproductive member of society is bullshit. And to just have this blatant disregard for humanity in general is disgusting to me. Like, how can you look at somebody who's living on the side of the road, filthy and hungry and needy and whatever else, and think, ugh, fuck you, you bum? And then still go to church or consider yourself Christian or consider yourself spiritually moral or whatever else. Like, I can't wrap my head around it. And so that's what I was meaning by that video, is I want to take those people and place them in a situation that they find absolutely disgusting and vile and whatever else, and make them have to live it for 6 months to a year of or longer. Just experience what it's like to actually walk a mile in somebody's broken shoes and have to live knowing that you once had, or that you once could, or that you once did, and are no longer able to do so, a lot of times through no fault of your own. And so it's something that I'm extremely passionate about, as you can tell, and it's something that has really, really just kind of like been gnawing on my nerves lately. And I have absolutely no sympathy or empathy for people who have the inability to see these things and somehow think that it's okay to continue to perpetrate and spew that hate and that anger and that, like, just general disregard for other people's livelihoods when they very well could be that person within an instant. Like, if you got injured tomorrow at work and you could, or you missed one payment on whatever, even if you own your house and you own your car or whatever, you miss one payment on something, everything that you own outright then becomes collateral to pay off those debts. You miss one p mortgage payment, you no longer have a house. You miss enough tax payments, you no longer have a house. Your personal assets are then attacked, utilized, and sold off and taken for whatever they can to go toward those debts, usually pennies on the dollar, and not even applied toward a principal or an interest or whatever. And then you have compounded interest on top of those already, that debt that you already have, selling off your entire livelihood. So what's the what do you do? And you have people who are buying up real estate and then charging these exuberant prices, and in many cases, breaking the law, going against federal and state housing mandates, going against the Fair Housing Act, and discriminating against persons who have Section 8 or TANF or other like housing vouchers, are utilizing programs to get into houses because, oh, well, I don't want to rent to Section 8 people. Ew. Like, that's illegal and that's against the law. You can actually lose your home and be fined thousands of dollars for breaking, for doing that, for being discriminatory. And it's just mind-boggling. Like, and especially if somebody claims to be a spiritual person, or like representing this or that god or whatever, or Christian or what have you, and then saying all of that stuff, and then going to church on Sunday and like, oh, I'm a Christian, look at me, her, or I'm, you know, I'm this holy person and I'm great and God's gonna bless me and la la la. That's like, no, that's not how that works. Like, who was Jesus's prime audience? Like, And then other people are like, well, the Bible says that in Revelations that you shall work to the last of your days and that you will inherit all the glories of all the glories of God's kingdom and blah blah blah. Translation, work for your masters until you can no longer work, and then you're going to receive some mystical reward afterwards. We were not built to live, to serve and work for others. And I'm not even gonna go down that road, but like, you know, there's not a single person who would willingly get up and go to work tomorrow if they didn't have to. And I know there's gonna be people like, oh, I would go to work because I can't stay at home and do nothing all day. Again, another like stereotype and idea that came from God knows where. that just because you're homeless or just because you're unemployed means that you are not busy, that you're not doing stuff, that you're sitting around with your thumb up your ass, or whatever analogy you want to put. No, that's not the case. Most people who are unemployed are still very busy. They're taking care of their children. They're running errands. They're doing this. They're doing that. Yeah, they're not bringing in a paycheck, but it doesn't mean that you are lacking in things to do. Like, I don't know. What I do know is that things need to change. And it's not going to be a red or a blue change. It needs to be a clean slate. You're not religious, you're not political, you're not this, you're not that. You are just a human, and you as a human change, and we all need to evolve in our thinking and the way that we do things and start. If you are going to come from a place of religion, then do so as a religious person. If you're doing so in the name of Jesus, do so in the name of Jesus. Don't do so in the name of Republican Jesus or this type of an ideal of Jesus or whatever. Don't sermon to people, but help people. People don't need to know the Word of God in order for you to help them. Chances are they've heard it, they've experienced it at one point or another, or whatever else. It's not a recruiting method. It's not something to like knock on their door and be like, "Have you found him?" No, that's not, put that aside. That's for something completely different. Helping to help for the sake of helping, that is the core of every single religion. Help those who cannot or are not able to help themselves. Put aside your ego, set aside your bias, and help people because you could be in their very same shoes needing that same help. And that's one thing I always like pose to people. What the hell would you expect if you were in that situation? If every time that you needed help, you were slapped away and told that you weren't worth the time or the effort or the energy, and that you should just kill yourself or whatever else. Like, what would you do if you were in that situation? Like, yeah, you can only be strong for so long, but if you have a wife and children and all this other stuff, and you are trying to maintain your family structure, even if it's not a wife, you're just trying to maintain your family structure, and everything is falling on you, and you yourself are breaking down. What do you do? How can you fix it? And if everything is like all the way up here and you're down here, a lot of times there's that huge disconnect and no way to get from point A to point B. So that's what that video was about, and I'm sorry for ranting for a half an hour about that, but I needed to get this off my chest. It has been weighing on me for days now, and just reading the comments this morning off of that video was like, nah, this needs to get out there. I know I'm not going to change people's minds, and I know it's just me on this camera venting and talking about whatever, but on the off chance that I do reach somebody that they have stayed for the 29 minutes and 30 seconds that this video has been going on, well, almost 30 seconds, but that this video has been going on, that they at least could take a second to step outside of themselves and possibly look at life through somebody else's eyes. That's all I want. So I'm gonna go ahead and end this. I'm not gonna talk about like the rest of the stuff that's happened over the last couple of days with exercises and stuff like that and trivia. I'll save that for Saturday. So yeah, if you've made it this far, thank you for listening to me rant, and yeah, I will talk to y'all later. Bye, guys.